We invite your attention to the 84th Psalm, Psalms 84, and I want to read a few verses of Scripture. In the 84th Psalm, appreciate the presence of the Lord that I feel, and I'm thankful for His blessing every time we come to His house. Amen. I wouldn't want to endeavor or try to have church without the presence of God and the anointing of God. It's so needed. Psalms 84, verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, where even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And I simply want to teach as the Lord would enable us tonight and anoint us about the altar, but I want to entitle this, Altars You Need to Build. Altars that you need to build. You know, there's some consecrations in our walk with God that we need to make, and we need to make them certain. Can you say praise the Lord? You know, there's a lot of things that you may not have to be certain about, even in walking with God. There's certain areas that you may be able to be saved without participating in this or that. May not be your calling or whatever. But there are other things that are requirements, and there are some things that we have to make sure. It was the Apostle Peter that wrote to make your calling and election sure. And by doing so, you would secure yourself from falling. Now, we don't believe in eternal security, but we do believe that if we practice the Word of God and we're obedient to the Word of God, we have a far better chance of never failing God. Can you say praise the Lord? And in our flesh, there is no good thing. But if we're walking with God according to His word, we're not going to fail. It's only when we're disobedient or when we stray away that we end up making mistakes and falling. Praise God. And we all need the grace of the Lord. Can you say amen? But I want to talk to you about altars that you need to build in your life. Why don't you lift up your hands with me and let's again pray for the anointing of the Lord to be upon this Bible lesson tonight. Jesus, we do need you. We need the help of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of your Spirit to work in this place. I'm asking you to minister your will to each and every heart severally. I pray, God, that you would minister the bread of life to every soul that is in need. You know exactly what we need tonight. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Praise God. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. I believe that an altar is an effective barometer to determine an individual's devotion unto God. It's also an effective barometer to check and see and determine not only an individual but a church, their response to the altar, their attitude towards the altar is a good barometer of how spiritual that church is. Many of you probably had occasion to be in a church or a service somewhere where there was those that were just maybe passive about the altar service. about coming around the altar. It's almost like other portions of the service were far more important than the altar service. I've heard a lot of people say in introducing preachers, now for the most important part of the service. And I agree with that partially, that that is the most important part of the service up until that point, the preaching of the Word of God. I do believe that the preaching of the Word of the Lord is one of the most fundamental and most important things that we do at church. And I certainly don't want to just come here and do other things. We're not going to replace preaching with programs or dramas or any other thing. We've got to hear preaching and teaching from God's Word. Amen. And I've heard people say that this is the most important part of the service. Can I tell you that it is up until that point? But our response to the preaching of the Word of God is in fact the most important part of any apostolic church service. Can I hear an amen? I think it's important how we respond. And I think it's important that we befriend the altar, and that we draw close to the altar, that we not be estranged from the altar in our walk with God, but constantly, even in times when things may be going good and we don't have any apparent needs, I think it's a good practice for us to get into, to come down to the altar and just spend time, because all of us can spend time lingering in the presence of the Lord. There's things that can be absorbed here. When we come to church, we need to come like a spiritual sponge and absorb as much as we possibly can, because as I have mentioned in the last few services, we don't know what we may face. The Lord only knows, but the Lord has something for us that can help us and inoculate us against that trial, against that situation, against whatever it is that may come against us, the resistance that we may encounter. And if you're living for God, you're going to have resistance. Because in this day and hour, more so than ever, we are going against the current, folks. We're going against the flow. If you live for God, matter of fact, if you believe in God, it's just about getting to the place that you're going against the current and the tide. And I don't think that those days are going to get any better, or these times, rather, are going to get any better. I think it's going to, as the Bible says, only get worse. But that doesn't mean that the church has to get weaker. Amen. I don't believe that that means that the church has to have less revival or less of a move of God or have any form of a diminished anointing or favor of God upon it. I think it's time for us to be stronger than we've ever been. In fact, I think these times that we're living in are drawing a contrast between the world and the church. Amen. And I think that's what these times are for, is to draw that line, that polarizing line between the world and the church. And no longer are people going to be able to live in the shades of gray. No longer are they going to be able to live just with a half-hearted, partial commitment to God. It's getting down to where you're either in or you're out. Amen. You're either sold out completely, or you're not in at all. And that's what it's getting down to. Because my Bible says the church that Jesus is coming back for is a church that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. That's the church that he said he's coming back for, a glorious church. He's coming back for a triumphant church, not a frail, not a weakened, not a diminished, not an anemic church, but a strong, fervent church. Amen. These times are only to make us stronger, folks. I said these times are really only to make us stronger. And if we're going to be strong, and if we're going to receive what we need from God, we're going to have to have a relationship with the altar. Now, when we talk about the altar, I'm talking about altar services right now, but I don't limit it only to the altar service, because I realize that it's important that we not only have a relationship with the altar here, and by that I'm not meaning these wooden benches per se, but the altar service and yielding to God, but that we also build altars in our lives. When you look at characters of the Old Testament, you can gauge the spiritual nature of those men and women based on the altars that you see them building. One of the things that becomes almost immediately apparent about the life of Abraham was that he was a builder of altars. Seemed like he was always building altars. And God, in turn, was giving him promises. If you want more promises from God, perhaps we could follow Abraham's example and build more altars to him. If you want God to bless you and speak to you and give you direction, you got to spend time in his presence. Can someone say praise the Lord? We find that routinely he would stop and build an altar. And often it was in a strategic place. For instance, one time he built one between Bethel and Ai. And we know that that was Bethel was representative of the house of God. And this other city, Ai, was representative of a trash heap. And so we know that he was building, this is representative to us, an altar between the church and the world. Can I tell you, that's a very important altar for you to build. Amen. You need to build some consecrations through your prayer life and convictions and a walk with God that keeps you from going back to the trash heap, that keeps you from going back to the world. I call them scotches in our walk with God. How many's ever known what it is to pull a trailer or something like this, and you got to put a chock behind it to keep it from rolling? Maybe it's a slanted parking lot, or you're parking it in a place where you want to secure it. You don't want it to roll because it doesn't have a motor. It doesn't have emergency brake. It doesn't have any of that. But it can easily roll. Doesn't have a parking gear. It can easily roll off and damage someone's equipment or hurt somebody. And so we put scotch in there. Well, I believe you need some scotches in your walk with God. Amen. You need to pray and get a walk with God and convictions and let God deal with you and build an altar between Bethel and Ai. Amen. After the flood, we know that Noah built an altar. And he sacrificed the clean animals that were on the ark. And that's always seemed ironic to me that he would build an altar of animals that he just spent 12 months, according to my calculations, 12 months nurturing. I'm talking about from the time, you know, a lot of people think that he only spent a little while on that ark, but according to my calculations, it didn't just rain that period of time and that was it, and then it was just dry land. But we know the fountains of the deep were unleashed, and we understand that it was something like 12 months that he was on that ark with those animals. That, I'm sure, was not very good living conditions, folks. You know what it is to walk in a chicken house. Can you imagine all of those animals and all of that refuse and all those things that goes on with all of that, and the smell, and then to be cooped up not only with these animals but with family members like that for that amount of time. Praise God. Couldn't even get out of the house. Couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't do anything. And 12 months. And then immediately, the Bible says he built an altar and offered these clean animals that he had nurtured, doctored, kept up, done all of this for. He offered them as a sacrifice to the Lord. They were saved to be a sacrifice unto God. Praise the Lord. You can study history and you can pretty well gauge the spiritual climate of nations, in particular the nations of Judah and Israel, by looking at what they were building altars to and also studying what altars they were tearing down. We know that there were times when God commanded them to tear down altars. Amen. To tear down strongholds in their lives. And the altar and how they responded to it tells us a lot about their spiritual condition. And so as Pentecost progresses and we go on, and now we're well into the 21st century, there are a few things that concern me, and that is I don't think we value or have a proper appraisal on the altar like we used to. And I know that it's more than just, again, these altar benches here. This is just a place prepared for us to pray. An altar is something that we build in our heart more than anything. But I see over time, as we have developed an attitude of hurriedness about altar services, I've noticed it here in our church, and it has concerned me. No longer do people linger in the altar like they used to. I'm going to tell you, this is a time when God can speak to us, God can encourage us, God can bless, and God could work in our lives. And it's very important that we learn how to linger in the altar, and we learn how to get past our flesh and past our own inhibitions, and maybe all of the things, the burdens of life and cares and all the things that sometimes bog down our minds and keep us distracted. When we get to the altar, we need to be able to respond and receive the Word of God and let it sink into our heart and take root. The Bible talks about the Word being a seed. Amen. Now, seed's a very powerful thing. It's not something that's like dynamite, that's a big explosion. It's not like a hammer that can break through things like a sledgehammer or a chisel, but it's no less just as powerful. I've seen, and you've seen, seed that has taken root in maybe a small bramble or tree, started growing in the crevices of a boulder where there was just a little soil there for it to take root in, and it literally began to break that boulder apart and to break that rock. I've seen the seed begin to take root and begin to break up and grow in between the cracks and the crevices of the pavement or in the concrete, and literally break it up and it have to be replaced. I've seen seed take root by a foundation and the foundation be cracked and destroyed as a result. A seed is a very powerful thing, but it's powerless unless it has the ability to find extensible soil and to take root. It's got to take root. It's got to be allowed to grow before it can bear the strength and the fruit and all of the other things that comes along with it. The Bible tells us unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. And that's how the Word of God is. Unless it can find a fertile heart out there, unless it can fall on the soil of someone's soul and take root and begin to grow and to flourish and to work in their lives, then it's not going to be effective. Praise the Lord. I've heard powerful messages and principles from the Word of God preached and taught, and many times I have sat back and scratched my head as to how little of effect it had upon the congregation. Now, I know it's not all physical response. I know it's not all emotion. I know it's not all of what you can see on the surface with the physical eye that matters. I realize that when the Word of God is unleashed, it's more powerful than that. I realize that the Word of God can penetrate through, and there's something that's going on in the Spirit that's much more, greater than what we can even fathom. But I do think it is important that we give a response to the Word of God. That's why we believe in responding while the preaching is going forth. Because the Bible said it's important for my faith to mix with the word of faith. Is that what the Scripture says? And by doing that, it's going to bless me. It's going to help me. It's going to strengthen me. But if I just sit and let it go right over my head or deflect it, or maybe I come to church and I say, well, that's for somebody else. That statement's for this one over here. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a preacher that comes to the pulpit ever with an agenda or someone in mind. I think it'd be pretty petty of me to come and to put targets on anybody's head at any given time. But I do feel like the Holy Ghost knows what the needs of the church are. And when we follow the Holy Ghost, we just have to teach it and preach it as the Word of God says. So when it goes forth, if the shoe fits, wear it, is the old saying. And we've got to take it in. We've got to receive it. We got to say, God, I know you're speaking to me. I know you're talking to me. You know what made Nathan's message to David so effective? Was when that seed, if I could say it this way, went forth. He didn't reject it. Now, I want you to understand, when he told him this story that he told him about the lamb, he was thinking it was somebody else. He couldn't see himself in the mess. I don't ever want to get to the place that I cannot see myself in the teaching and the preaching of God's word. And so, oh, he's talking about somebody. Oh, that preacher's preaching somebody. Oh, that's for somebody over there. No. You be able, the word of God's like a mirror. Come on now. And we don't go around with mirrors and say, here, look at yourself. Mirrors are for our own personal good. We all consulted the mirror before we came to church tonight. I hope so. And made sure, you know, we got hair at least combed down and got tie straight and got whatever. And so we consult the mirror for our own personal gain. We don't use a mirror to reflect somebody else. So that's the way the Word of God is. We need to use it when it's preached and not be the type that says, that's not for me. I don't want to be a David that says, show me that man. And Nathan have to say, you are the man. You're exactly who I'm talking about. But thank God he was able to say, you know what, I'll receive that and I'll repent and I'll get some things right. And because of that, he was able to be saved because he could receive preaching. I'm talking about a king. I'm talking about a man that's been elevated to the highest position of the land. Still needed a preacher. Still needed a man of God in his life. Doesn't matter where we get, how high we get, how far we're blessed, we're all going to need a preacher to be saved. Can you say amen? And so when that word goes forth, we need to receive it. And one of the ways we do that is by coming around this altar. I think sometimes I'm making an admission tonight, I've even been guilty of thinking, well, there's some that are ready to go, so I'll go ahead and dismiss service or give them the opportunity to leave. I don't know that that's always good. Sometimes there might be somebody still praying and agonizing before God. Instead of just being ho-hum and just watching and getting impatient and wringing our hands, maybe we need to go over there and pray with them and pray them through to victory and spend some time with them until they get what they need from God. Praise the Lord. That's what the altar's all about. It's a place of breakthrough. I said it's a place of breakthrough. It's a place where we get what we need, and the Word of God is able to resonate down deep within our spirit and our heart. Because we can, so if we're not careful, and the Bible admonishes us in this area. It says, be careful, give earnest heed that you don't let what you've received slip away. Don't let it slip through your fingers. I picture like trying to hold sand. You know, it slipped through your fingers and run down out of your hands, and before you know it, you don't have any left in the palm of your hand. You may have picked up a whole handful, but you've let it slip away. If you don't place it in a container, it's going to slip away from you. Well, the prophets talked about the bag full of holes that you could place whatever you wanted into it, and it would just eventually find its way out one of those holes in the bag, and it wouldn't be able to be contained or held on to. I want to tell you something, folks. It's important that we be able to hold on to the Word of God. Because there's a lot of things that are going to pass away. But my Bible said that Word is never going to pass away. That's a sure footing for me. That's a sure foundation for me. That's how I can make it. Praise the Lord. And when you got a reservoir of the Word of God down deep in your heart, that's why David could say, when I hid this word in my heart, when temptation come, I didn't sin against God. When I was challenged, I didn't sin against God. Hallelujah. Oh, I think it's so important that we get it down on the inside of us. And by coming to an altar and absorbing and lingering in the presence of the Lord, seems like We are so prone to treat the altar like a drive-through window. I'll take and present my order to God, and we're steadily tapping our hand on the steering wheel, saying, come on now, hurry up. Revving our engine. You got 5 minutes, God, or I'm gone. I pulled up to McDonald's until I eat healthy when my wife's out of town. I pulled up to McDonald's and I don't eat much at McDonald's besides their breakfast. And we hadn't opened yet. And that tells you it's pretty early. And I'm sitting there and the lights are on. Everything's going. And I found myself, you know, kind of wrapping my knuckles on the steering wheel. I thought, wonder if they know I'm out here. Good morning. How are y'all today? Turn my radio up. Trying to get their attention. But you know what? They're not gonna let you order 1 minute before time. I guarantee you that. Matter of fact, they're not gonna let you order 10 seconds before opening time. Praise the Lord. Talking about going beyond. Anyway, that's the way we treat God sometimes. God, you just got a little bit of opportunity here, and I've got to move on. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not what the altar's for. You show me someone that loves the altar and loves altar service, I'll show you someone that's strong spiritually and that's stable. You show me somebody knows how to wait upon the Lord, because the Bible doesn't say they that get impatient with God shall renew their strength. Those that hurry God shall mount up with wings as eagles. Those that try to put a time limit on God shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. No, the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then it talks about a day that even the young men are going to find themselves weary. Even those that have, it's drawing a spiritual allegory with the physical here. It's saying those that we're thinking of physical stature and a person that's young and vigorous and has their health and their strength. He said even that kind of person is going to find themselves weary, and their physical strength, just like in the natural, their physical strength would be zapped. In that sense, if you don't keep yourself strong spiritually, your spiritual strength is going to be diminished. So it's important that you receive whatever it is that you need, whatever it is as far as the nutrients that you need from the Word of God. It's important that you receive it. And so why just rush and try to hurry up? But maybe we could absorb and receive and let the Word of God find a lodging place in our heart. Praise the Lord. I want to receive it, don't you? Praise God. I think it's so important. And I know that the altar is not always comfortable. I know the altar is a place where we got to confront things in our flesh many times. And the altar sometimes has lumps of consecration and bumps of conviction. An altar is uncomfortable because it's a place of blood and a place of tears and a place of sacrifice. But I remind you, before there can be rejoicing, there has to be repentance. And before there can be triumph, there has to be tears. And before there can be a supernatural visitation, there has to be self-denial. And that's not something, when we live in an age that we live in a society where people are so fixated on their self-interest and what they want. It's even trickled down to their attitude towards the church, what I want. Amen. That's not the New Testament church that I read about. The Bible said they had all things common. That's not the New Testament church that I read about. The Bible says that they were willing to minister to one another's needs. And they live selfless lives, and they live sacrificial lives. And I'm going to tell you, that's why they experienced the revival that they experienced, is because of that self-denial. And if we want another supernatural visitation, we're going to have to get back to old-fashioned self-denial and consecrating unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You show me a person that really has a desire for the altar, I'll show you a person that can be anointed. Their life can be favored. You can go to heaven without a beautiful building. You can go to heaven without a PA system. Been a lot of pioneers that's done it. You can go to heaven without padded pews, and I thank God for all of these things. I'm not interested in going back, good Lord willing. But I will say this. You can't go to heaven without an altar in your life. You just can't. You can't go to heaven without a prayer life. I didn't say it'd always be fun. I didn't say it'd always feel good, but it's something that you need. We want things that are pleasant, are appealing, and we have to dress it up. Can you imagine that Old Testament altar? That was a place that had a stench about it because of blood that was there, that had animals had been sacrificed, the flies, the gnats, the blood that was in the entrails of animals, and all of those things were opened up right there at that altar. And it was not a place that was pretty. I'm going to tell you, self-denial and really praying through in an altar is not always pretty. I know we try to make Pentecost as pretty as we can, and I don't think we ought to down dress it or anything like that. I'm not voting for that, but I am saying that sometimes you got to get beyond your old pride. You got to get beyond your old feelings of wonder what somebody would think or what somebody would say. Come on, when people got the Holy Ghost, when I was coming up, they let mascara run down their face. They'd lose their eyelashes. They'd come rolling down their cheeks. Come on now. I remember my Aunt Liza. She was a looker, I'm telling you, she was something. She had them things looked like 4 inches long. Ah, Lord have mercy. And I mean makeup, it looked like Bondo. She could put it on with a putty stick. It was on there. And she came down the altar. And I remember when she was first getting exposed to Pentecost, she was wearing short skirts. And my great-grandmother, who was a prayer warrior, real modest, she'd come She'd take one of the men's jackets and say, "Honey, you must be cold. So let me wrap this around you." It was her way of saying, "You need to get some clothes on." And but when she got out in that altar, when she got the Holy Ghost, they said there's eyelashes running down her face, and stuck on the side of her cheek, mascara running like a black river. But she broke through. Altars ain't always pretty. I said the altar isn't always pretty. Praise God. But if you're going to break through, you got to get beyond this old flesh. You got to get beyond its wants, its desires. You can't put any stipulations on God. This isn't have it my way if I'm going to get something from the Lord. I got to come yielding to Him. You know why a lot of people can't get through to the Holy Ghost? Is they can't yield to God. To get the Holy Ghost, you got to repent of your sins and you got to yield your will to God's will. That's right. Amen. And if you're going to continue to walk in the Spirit, it's going to be a steady process of yielding to God. You know what a yield sign is? That's saying if something bigger's coming, I'm going to yield. That's what that is. If something small's coming, I'll just push on the gas a little harder. That's the way some people view a yield sign. That's not the real interpretation of a yield sign. But I promise you, if there's a Mack truck coming, you're not going to push on the accelerator, are you? The big old 18-wheeler coming down through there, you're going to yield. Matter of fact, yeah, you're going to stop. Because something bigger than you is coming down the right of way. I'm going to tell you something bigger than us. When it begins to move, we need to yield and say, "It's your way, Lord, not mine." Jesus showed us this example in the garden. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." As bad as it may hurt me, as bad as I'm going to have to endure some suffering, and this is total self-denial, I still am going to yield this old fleshly will to divinity, to divine will. Praise God. Hallelujah. And He was our supreme example. Praise God. Not always the things that are good for us are always something we enjoy. I mean, Chanel gets a little cough or something, and I say, "Okay, you got a fever. You need to take some of this Tylenol. I don't like that Tylenol. It don't taste good." I said, "I didn't ask you if you liked it. I said, this is what you need to bring the fever down." And I'm going to tell you what, when she was a little younger, that was a chore. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Get that stuff to go down the throat. Unless you was wanting it all over the sheets and all over the clothing and everything else, you had to be very careful and ginger with that stuff, or it might come back up too. You may just think that they swallowed it. They don't like it because it don't taste good necessarily for them, but it's necessary, and it is going to serve a purpose, and it's for their good. They told me when I went to Africa that you need to go and take some immunization shots. I said, "I don't really like shots." I said, "Well, you don't like malaria either. You don't like yellow fever. And you won't like a lot of these other things either. You'll like them a whole lot less than you like that shot." I said, "I'll go get them." And we take our children to get them those immunization shots, not because we enjoy seeing them suffer, but we know there's dangerous diseases out here unless they're inoculated from them. All you got to do is see a person with polio that's had polio and watch them in their crippled condition, then you'll understand why these kind of things are necessary. the Word of God when it comes to us, and our response to it at an altar sometimes is not the most comfortable thing for us and our flesh. It may go against the grain of our flesh. I'm going to just say this. If a preacher's always rubbing you the right way all the time, he's probably not helping you. Come on now. If everything is going your way all the time and everything he preaches is like peppermint sticks to you and cotton candy, then it probably is not being too effective. Sometimes the Word of God stirs us up. It even agitates. But when we come down the altar, that's why it's important when that happens. You don't leave without praying. Seeing what God, don't storm out upset or mad or let the devil get a foothold and all of that. You need to come down the altar and say, you know, where do I need to apply this? How do I need to let this deal with me? How do I need to let this resonate in my heart? Come on now. Because the devil's always looking for an avenue to get a bad spirit in any one of us so that we cannot, so there'll be a wall there. There'll be a barrier there. There'll be an impenetrable bubble there that the preacher cannot get through to minister to us. It's important that those barriers be brought down. It's important. Praise God. And so I want to receive the Word of God. I want to receive it. I want the Word of God to touch my heart. I want to fall in love with the altar. In my response to what God is doing and the moving of God's Spirit. Come on, you need to, when in church services, you need to come around this front. Make this place a place that you're familiar with. A place that you're accustomed to coming down around the altar, letting God deal with you, letting God touch you, letting God. You say, well, it's not an all going up there. It's not an all of that. It's not, you know, it's not, you've already said here tonight, Brother Calvin, it's not a physical place necessarily that you're talking about. It's a condition of our heart. But there is something about making an effort to step out. There is something about it when we're, that's an act of faith. That's an act of obedience to God's word. That's an act of saying, I'm going beyond what my comfort zone is. That I'm stepping across a line and I'm making a consecration. I'm going beyond the comforts of my flesh. That's why we do that. That's why we come around the altar, amen, is so that God can have an opportunity to deal with. And I'm stepping out of what I am accustomed to and what I'm familiar with to let God do that. I can see right now that I haven't even got into my lesson tonight, so I'm not going to attempt to go any further with this, but this will just be the first part of me talking about the altar. I'm going to talk about it again. That'd be all right. I didn't even get into the points of what I wanted to say, but I really felt to talk about lingering around the altar. We want to see victories. We want to see blessings. We want to see anointing. We want to see God work. It'll come through us staying in that altar. Staying there until you get a breakthrough. I'm not saying a time limit. I'm talking about being there until you get the breakthrough. Some people say, well, I'm going to pray. I'm not talking about just here, but in their prayer life, they'll say, I'm going to pray 1 hour a day. Well, that's notable. Or noble. That's great. That's awesome. And I think there is times that you need to hunker down in this flesh and pray through and just go ahead and pray and say, you know what, I ain't getting up here from here for a while. I may not even feel God, but I'm not going to get up and just go on just because I don't feel him. And I think there's times that God just recoils a little bit and just see if you're going to. If you're going to pray because you're faithful and because you love him. But I think it's more important that we pray until we touch God. Some days that may be 30 minutes. Some day it may be an hour and 30 minutes. Some day it may be 20 minutes. And I'm not saying just touch him and then, oh yeah, I felt him again. I'm going on my way. That's selfishness too. But when you get in his presence, that's this where you're getting started, where he can really deal with you and help you and drop things into your spirit and speak to you like he needs to. Praise God. Why don't we stand to our feet right now and lift our hands to the Lord? Come on, let's praise the Lord together. Let's worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. I magnify you, Lord. I glorify you, King of Kings. I love you so much. I worship you so much. God, you're so worthy. I tell you what, I'd like for us to pray here before we leave. God, help me to fall in love with the altar, God. Would you pray that? Help me to fall in love. And I'm, again, not talking about just a physical place, but I'm talking about after a message goes forth and when the presence of the Lord is moving, help us to be open, God. Help us, oh Lord, to be sensitive to what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to learn how to wait upon you and to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and allow you to speak to us. Would you pray that right now before we leave? Would you pray that prayer? God, I don't want to rush you. I don't want to be impatient with you. I don't want to try to hurry you. I don't want to force your hand. But God, I pray, Lord, that I could love this altar time, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many loves the word of the Lord? Would you clap your hands to him? And